And as you can see, we're doing a topical study on Proverbs. Could you imagine how long it would take me, 31 chapters, if we did verse by verse? That'd be about 3-4 years at least. Okay, we're going to have Sherman, if you will, to lead us in a word of prayer. Amen. Before we go into our questions, I hope no one had any problems kind of connecting the passages. We are going to have some introductory remarks. As we look at the book of Proverbs, we know that most of them, not all of them, are written by Solomon. So let's go to a few passages as we look at Solomon. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. Let's see. 1 Kings 3, 5 through 12. Ken, why don't you read that for us? You missed Sunday. You were out of town. So we'll get you some more reading today. 1 Kings 3, 5 through 12.
1 Kings 5.
No, 1 Kings 3. Chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. No, 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. My verse starts out at Gibeon.
Good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you.
Okay, so this is the setting of Solomon becoming king. And we just kind of throw this out here to show the type of character he started out with as he looked towards God. And I think we would say he had humility and dependence upon God. Now, this is the one who wrote the bulk of the Proverbs that we're going to be studying these upcoming weeks. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4, Larry, would you read for us verses 30 through 32? Okay, now we don't have 3,000 Proverbs in the book of Proverbs. But again, it's just showing and portraying his wisdom that God had given to him. Let's go to Ecclesiastes Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 9. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 9. Okay, let's go ahead. Susan, why don't you read that for us, please? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9. Okay, I'm going to read the English Standard Version of Ecclesiastes 12:9. The English Standard Version says, "Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying, and arranging many proverbs with great care." So again, going back as we look at the proverbs, and I have this on my introductory notes. The proverbs we have recorded are written basically by Solomon and a few other writers, but ultimately, they are written by God. God sent through these individuals the Proverbs, did they not? So again, we want to understand that. So these are not wise sayings of men. These are men who were inspired to leave these sayings for us as we look at the book of Proverbs. Now we know that Solomon was the major writer of Proverbs. Let's look at a few passages on that. Let's go to Proverbs 1:1. Angela, you want to read Proverbs 1:1 for me? Okay, so now we're going to see this two more times. Now, if you look at Proverbs 10:1. Paula, are you there? When you get there, you want to read that for me? Proverbs 10, verse 1. And then I'm not going to go to the third one. Basically, Proverbs 25, verse 1, talks about the Proverbs of Solomon. So Solomon identifies himself in the book of Proverbs, does he not? Now we also have the wise. The wise in Proverbs 22:17. Danielle, you want to read that for me? Proverbs 22 and verse 17. Now who these people are, I don't know. It says the wise. Proverbs 22:17.
Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge.
Okay, let's go to Proverbs 24:23. T, you want to read that one for me? Proverbs 24 and verse 23.
These are also sayings of the wise, to show partiality and judging his
knowledge. Okay. Linda, let's go to Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30 and verse 1. Well, that's why that's the good thing being the teacher. I can have others do that, and I don't have to do it. That's good. They don't use Chuck, Jim, James, things like that. They use names, and that's the whole proverb there in chapter 30. Then you go to Proverbs 31. Steph, let's see if we can give you a hard one. No, Proverbs 31 and verse 1. Okay, so what we've quickly done here, we have Solomon identifying himself, the preacher. We have the wise, we have Augur and Lemuel. So we have these, but remember, ultimately, where did they come from? They came from God. So now, before we go into our study tonight, just a few more things. I've written this down. The book of Proverbs not only leads one to make good choices, I forget where I got this statement. It is a book that leads one to make godly choices. There's the difference. Not simply good choices, but godly choices. The first nine chapters, personifies wisdom. And when we talk about wisdom, wisdom is not simply head knowledge. It is also knowledge put into action. For instance, could I have the head knowledge how to control my diabetes? But does that necessarily mean I put it into action when I'm eating fudge? So wisdom is not simply head knowledge. It's the head knowledge which puts into action what you know. And the Proverbs will do that. Robert Harkrider in his book states concerning this, "The common usage of the word wisdom describes one who has the skill to apply knowledge in a correct way." Sometimes we have knowledge, but sometimes the knowledge is not applied in a correct way. So again, we need to get the knowledge and then learn to apply it in the correct way. And we're going to look at these different areas, whether it be parenting, whether it be the tongue, whether it be righteousness. As you look at all those different topics, this we need to apply it in the correct way. Now, when we talk about wisdom, we could literally read the first 8-9 chapters, but I'm only going to just give you a few passages on that we're going to read. We're going to start with Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. Tammy, you want to read that for me, please? Okay, so we have the ability of having this wisdom. Let's go ahead and read Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Gary, you want to read that for me, please?
"My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield of those who walk uprightly."
All right, but see, to have this wisdom, number one, we're not talking about worldly wisdom. We're talking about wisdom from whom? From God. Number two, it's not going to come about by chance. This whole section here that Gary read is a personification of wisdom. This is what we're seeking after, this wisdom that he set forth for us. Now, one more section before we go into our study. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Diana, you want to read verses 5 through 11, please. Chapter 4, verses 5 through 11. Okay, and again, wisdom being personified. Get her. Go after her. Make it a part of your life. And of course, the wisdom we're talking about is the wisdom from Proverbs. Now, as my wife and I were driving here tonight, she said, "I think we should, it would be nice to study the whole book of Proverbs." And it would. But I've just decided to take different things that I've enjoyed studying, and we're going to go over those things. So let's go to page number 2 on your workbook. Page number 2. And now we're going to tie together the Proverbs and say, well, this is simple. I can do this. And my wife's already told me she's almost completed the workbook. Well, she's completed putting the passages in, but she didn't complete it. And as we're going to discuss these passages, so again, it's not a workbook where you just fill in the blank and you move on. So as I told you before, if you use other than the New King James Version, you are, on some of the passages, going to have perhaps a little difficulty finding the proverb. Initially, I was going to put all three translations that's used normally, but I decided against that. So all of these for the answers to the sheet is the New King James Version. All right, question number 1. When is the silver-haired head a crown of glory? What proverb did you have? 16:31, right? Everybody's got Proverbs 16:31. All right, Noel, you want to read that proverb for us, or the, whatever version you use? Just tell us if it's not the New King James, what version you're using. Okay. Okay, New American Standard says the gray head is a crown of glory. And we could add, it's not just talking about the hair on one head, it's talking about those who are aged, right? So it would be the hoary head, the gray head, the silver-haired head, the bald head. But it's focusing those who have age, and it goes as a crown of glory, but what's the requirement? If it's found in the way of righteousness. Now, there's a couple of things I want to throw out, and then I'll open it up to you. How does our society, 2024, view age? Negatively or positively?
Negatively,
right? You remember back in Leviticus, stay in Proverbs, run back to Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 32. Totally opposite of what was done in the Old Testament. Leviticus 19:32. All right, let's go ahead. Go ahead, Clay.
You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord.
Honor the presence. And again, whether it be it's man, but it be man or woman. It's honor the presence of those who are aged, correct? However, some older people don't act their age. Have you ever noticed some people that try to be young when they're older? Now, I'm not saying we can't associate with the young, but they make themselves look silly. You know, when you're older in age, hopefully you've got that wisdom. Now, wisdom does not come simply with age. Would we all agree? So we've got to work on it. But you notice what it says in the Proverbs 16. If it's found in the way of righteousness. So that's, anybody else? So again, first proverb, age is good if what? I'm living according to God's standards, right? You know, people talk about, okay, go ahead. Good point. Experience is not wisdom. If you want to elaborate further on that, you can. And it's not.
It's not, because it's not according to God.
All right, good point. Never see, that's why we have classes like these. If I ever teach this again, I probably will forget your name, but I'll yes, Danielle.
I was just gonna use a real world example of that. Like at the sheriff's office, we have people that have been there for many years and really haven't done a whole lot. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that equals wisdom in the job or
absolutely, and that's a good point. If you're living, you're getting older. And the more you live, you will get older and older. Whether or not you'll be wise is determined what you did with all that time. And I like the point, I never thought of that. It's going to stick with me now forever. You have experience as you get older. But sometimes people don't learn how to gain wisdom from their experience. They just have the experience. So again, people talk about legacy. Well, really, our legacy is to get God's wisdom and live in a way that's pleasing to Him. The biggest, best legacy you can have is he or she pleased God. Right? That's the best legacy you can have. Not how many deals you made, not how many houses you sold, not how many books you wrote, not how popular you are with man, but your relationship with God. All right, anybody else? Let's move on to the next one. Question number two. What are the righteous instructed to choose carefully and why? What proverb did you use? 12:26, right? Everybody's got Proverbs 12:26 if you don't put it down. Now, I'm not going to let you add those other verses. No. Yes, but let's look at 12:26. Go ahead and read that, Clay. Okay, now when I read that passage, one New Testament passage immediately came to my mind. Can you think of what that might be? It's 1 Corinthians 15:33. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Gary, since you brought that up, why don't you read that for us, please? Okay. Now, what I've done with I've studied these Proverbs, I put the proverb down, some additional passage, and then I put the word key. And what I chose as my key to that proverb is influence. Okay. You are influenced by others, and you also influence others. We're going to talk about later on in our study, iron sharpens iron. But the point is, it's talking about influence. For instance, okay, as we read, the righteous should choose his friends carefully. Here's what the English Standard Version says. One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. So basically it's saying the same lesson of influence, but it's going from a different direction. It does it not still. The righteous one influences them in what direction? The right way. What do you tell your teenage child? Be careful what? Who you choose as your friends, right? Because usually if you're not careful, your friends are going to do what? Yeah, they're probably going to, and if they're caught up, and again, I'm not going to go into great detail, but you got to be careful of that. Tony. And it's not just young people. You know, we point this out to young people. Of course, they're included, right? Because they're influenced. But those of us are older, we've got to be careful too. You know, I illustrate this way. Who am I comfortable around? And if I'm comfortable around those who are doing unrighteous things, what should that be telling me? To make some changes, correct? Now, don't equate that, and this upsets me, don't equate that in thinking, well, I think I'm better than someone. No, I don't think I'm better than anybody else. But does God warn us who we're around? Now, when you're at work, sometimes you don't have a choice to be whom you're around. You got Tony and Chet and Danielle who work for the police force, and they're around some unsavory characters sometimes. But that's their job. It's not saying, hey, I got free time. I'm going to go hang around with those people I just arrested last week. So it's different. In your job, you have to deal with some that may not be a good influence. I know I worked when I was years and years ago, and it's been years. When I was in forklift people, warehouse people are good people, but they don't have very good tongues. They get caught up with some of the truck drivers, and some of the truck drivers don't have very good tongues. And I had someone I worked with who I liked in many ways, but I wouldn't take him home because every third word out of his mouth started with the letter F. And so it's one of those things I had to work with him. And there were times I suggested maybe you need to increase your vocabulary. But But the point is, I had to watch myself that I didn't slip up and start doing that. Because as we work together, and you hear that over and over and over and over again, and I'm not justifying doing wrong, but it can influence you, right? So you got to be careful, and that's one of many, but we all influence others. Yes, Leon.
Proverbs emphasizes exactly what you just said. In Proverbs 13, verse 20, it says, "He who walks with wise men will become wise, but he that has the companion of fools will become a fool." So that's the issue of influence.
Okay.
Okay,
share that proverb again if they want to write it down.
13,
Proverbs 13 and verse 20. Yes, Danielle. Huh? Oh, okay. Oh, everybody's small. Okay, you're on, Daryl.
The other thing about having the right friends around you, it's pointed out think about Job.
Okay. Very good. Someone else had their hand. Gary, you had your hand up.
There's another proverb, something along the line, "Do not go with an angry man lest you learn his ways and it become a snare to your soul," but I just thought of it.
Right. We're going to talk about that later on in Proverbs, but we have to be careful. And again, it's not refuting the idea of being angry, because sometimes we have time to be angry, but it's an angry man, someone who's just constantly angry. Have you ever met people like that? They're just constantly angry. So you don't want to be around that because, you know, it's going to rub off on you. It's just like someone who's constantly negative. I don't like, now, do I get negative sometimes? Ask my wife. She'll say, yes, I do. I don't try to be constantly negative. And that's because we are in a society that what's the news basically?
Negative.
They don't have four or five stories that are going to uplift you. They're going to have four or five stories that's going to kind of make you upset and disgusted. So we thrive on being negative. I'm working on a lesson on emotions, and we're going to talk about that. But the point is, you've always got somebody, you say something good, and they're going to throw out the negative. It's beautiful today. Right until now, who knows what the future? We might not have another hurricane come through. So let's start worrying about another hurricane coming through. May not. But you see, we can choose to be positive or negative, but we need to choose our friends carefully. And we need to be an influencer of good, do we not? So that's a good proverb. Let's go to the next one. Those who follow righteousness and mercy, what proverb did you have? Proverbs 21 and verse 21. T, are you there? Proverbs 21, I'll catch you in 1 second, Gary. Proverbs 21, 21, you want to read that for me, please? Okay. Now, the key thing here is pursuing or following righteousness. I put this in my notes. The reward is a natural effect of the conduct. Okay, when you look at the conduct is following righteousness and mercy. English Standard Version says kindness. Well, if you follow righteousness and mercy or kindness, you're going to find what? Righteousness so again, these are the result of you living like this. Gary, you had your hand up.
Also, Proverbs 11 and verse 19 says, "As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death." So if righteousness leads to life, if you're following righteousness, you'll end up to life.
Right. But again, so far what we've studied, Do we have a responsibility? And I like what Leon brought up earlier. Wisdom doesn't come with age. And he brought up, it doesn't come simply with experience. It comes as we tie those two together, coupled with the Word of God, that we can learn to be wise. For instance, and again, I'm not perfect at it, but I've learned to some degree to control my tongue. That has helped me over the years. Many years ago, I didn't control my tongue as much, and that didn't help me. So again, and I've learned that from the Proverbs. And we're going to have a whole section on the tongue, but the thing is, I can't blame others for my lack of wisdom on how to use the tongue, right? And there's a lot of, in the Lord's church, I'd say 40 to 60% of the problems in the Lord's church, not here, but universally, is probably dealing with the misuse of the tongue. The misuse of the tongue has nothing to do with doctrinal issues. Has the misuse of the tongue. Let's go to the next one, Proverbs number 4. Whose prayers does the Lord hear? Okay, what proverb? 15:29. Proverbs 15:29. Okay, let's go ahead. Sherman, are you Proverbs 15:29? Okay. Okay, now I'm not going to go on a long study of this. Of course, we understand God heard the prayers of Cornelius. Didn't say he answered, but he heard right in Acts chapter 10. But let's face it, prayer is not a spigot where we turn it on and turn it off. For our prayers to be acceptable to God, we need to be listening to God. Let's go to a few passages on that. Let's go to Psalms 66:18. Psalm 66:18. Angela, you want to read that one for me, please? Psalm 66:18. Okay, so here it is. He's talking about prayer, right? The Lord's not going to listen if what? I have iniquity in my heart. Okay, let's go and look at the next proverb, our next passage with this proverb. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. Robin, would you mind reading that for us, please? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. All right, so give you a silly little illustration. That's why when I helped coach when I lived in Perry, I helped the girls' high school softball team. And I think I told you this. The head coach only asked me to lead in one prayer. And that was our very first prayer in our very first game. And what she must have been expecting is she thought I was going to pray for us to win. And I didn't. I prayed that no one would get hurt and we'd have good sportsmanship, you know, and just things of that nature. And then we lost the game. So out of the whole season, I led one prayer. That was it. I can't pray, well, give us the win. I don't know how. First of all, God's not concerned who wins the softball game. That's number one. So again, the prayers of the righteous. So now, to have the prayers of the righteous, we need to be praying according to His will. You know, if we're not praying according to His will, then we're not righteous. Now, how do we pray according to His will? We need to know His will. It's very difficult, for instance, as you pray for a loved one who's extremely ill, because we want it to go exactly one way, don't we? But we have to leave it in God's hands. So I think we have a right to pray for the sick. I think we have the right to pray that if God wills that they would get better. But we have to also leave it open-ended. Maybe that's not the way it's going to go. And I can't conclude God didn't hear our prayers because he didn't do it my way. Prayer is not a thing where I'm telling God what to do. It's a petition requesting of God, this is what I would like if it's in harmony with your will. And then sometimes I pray, God, I pray for my attitude if it goes differently. And really, I pray for my attitude if it goes differently, because sometimes we can get upset if it doesn't go the way we had anticipated, right? So the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Who knows what has happened because brethren have prayed? You know, I can't say this is that, but I believe prayers do affect things. And like I said, not every time the way I would like them, but they affect things. So if I'm praying, now remember James, the one simple example in James. Let's go to James, James chapter 4 and verse 3. Here's prayers that were unacceptable. James chapter 4, 3. Tabitha, do you want to read that for me, please? James 4, verse 3. Okay, you ask amiss. Why? Because you're not, it's a selfish prayer. And that's what I'm saying. Prayer is not a spigot that you know, this is what I want, this is what I want you to do, God. And we kind of barter with, and I've done this, right? Don't worry what you've done for him, because you still have fallen short. So it's not a situation where you're weighing each side. God will answer prayers. You look at how many prayers there are in the Bible. There's a lot. So, again, though, I've got to be in a right relationship with God. I can't pray to God to do what's right when I choose to ignore what he tells me to do in my life. All right? One more passage on that before we go on. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And then we're going to do question 5, and then I think we're going to run out of time. We've got a few more minutes. All right, Tammy, why don't you read that for me? 1 John 5, 14. They see that key? According to what?
His will.
Yes, Gary.
I think another very important passage is James chapter 5, where it talks about if anyone's sick, call for the elders of the church. You pray for the religious leaders. You pray for the men that are strong in their faith and have them come and pray for you. And it gives the example. Elijah was a man with a nature like iron. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. It did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I'm glad, you know, they're probably praying individually in their homes and like that, but I think there's a point to this.
Right. Well, first of all, if you're calling for the elders, what type of people should they be?
Righteous.
So they should be that righteous individual. I see you're pointing to me. Am I out of time? Oh, okay. I'm looking all these different directions. All right. One more question, then we're done for the night. Question number 5. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, that's why you're pointing there. I'm sorry. Debbie, I'm sorry.
It's okay. We have to remember when we're even praying with someone that's gravely ill and we know they're on their deathbed, we weren't meant to live here forever. Our home is somewhere else.
Good point. And that's a good point, because we want to feel that we're here indefinitely, and we're not. Last point, because we're out of time.
Yeah. Well, and also important, just to remember, it tells us God hears our prayers.
Yeah.
We have the assurance God will hear our prayers. That doesn't mean that we're going to get everything. You've got great examples. You all prayed and didn't get the answer you wanted. Jesus prayed and didn't get the answer he wanted. Nevertheless, your will, not mine, be done, right? Jesus said it. If this can, in any way, this cup can pass from me, let it be so.
Okay.
It's still according to God's will, and we have the assurance he will hear our prayers. That doesn't mean that we can expect. expect God to be our beck and call.
Okay. And I close this number four. We'll begin with five next week. My key to number four, you don't have to put keys, but my key to number four is a needed conduct for acceptable prayer. If I'm ignoring God day in and day out, I shouldn't think my prayers are going to hit home with God because my conduct is showing otherwise. So next week, start with prayer. Number five for next week.